how they've been. Hi.
What's good?
Nice bucket hat.
Thanks.
Denim. You look like
Daisy or whatever the fuck.
I was gonna say like the publicist for EPMD.
Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah, it's a compliment. You're good. You're doing well.
I am. Okay. Are you?
Yeah. No, I'm. You know, I'm chilling. I'm all right. I'm happy to be back in our WGN spaceship.
It's been a while.
It is. It's been a minute. It's always good to be home. Tar, we got a good crew in the building. We have folks who are really dope artists, folks who are community members and organizers. They run FDC Studios, Jacob King and Cameron Bundy, aka Mr. Sun, both artists in your own right. And gentlemen, welcome into the Corner Store.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Yo, your shirt is dope.
We actually have this.
At the store? Yeah, oh, yeah. In the merch shop. Okay, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Well, we were just talking about the space that you're in, and I want to pick up on those historic notes, but to welcome you properly into the Corner Store, of course, Max has just already poured you some of our sponsor, Stolen Spirits. So I think you guys are off of the new rye that they just dropped in the world. So enjoy those. But we also have, in addition, some snacks for you. So you guys could share these or... you know, squabble over them. But Max also secured some Lay's Fiery Habanero potato chips. They're flavored. I don't know what... maybe there's no actual habanero in it. Or the Scotch bonnet pepper, as they would say in Jamaica. Also, y'all, some Barnum's Animal crackers. Look, it's the new look. Same great taste, which is good. So, because this one is fortified with calcium.
Do they have dragons in there
for
now?
For the kids, they might. Sure, yeah, yeah. Shout out to Khaleesi.
They probably used to have like some endangered.
Do you watch Game of Thrones?
Yeah, man. I'm not. Look, I'm.
You just don't seem the type.
I know. Because I try.
Well,
look,
you don't watch TV.
I contain multitudes, you know. And we also have a Kavita sparkling probiotic lemon cayenne drink. So
you guys know?
I don't know if you guys want. Yeah, that's your jam. And to round it off. Max was really into the probiotic section today. Also got you some Tropicana Essential Pineapple Mango Probiotics. That seems medicinal.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, no, that's going to be good for you.
For the flora.
That, right. Yeah, that could go.
We're here to cleanse and also give you tips.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Educate, yeah. Elevate, and invigorate. But yo, so we were talking about this space that you run. We're kind of getting into what the space was prior. FDC Studios become a gallery, community center, space for arts across, like, it's a genre agnostic. We've done something there. We did the live joint with Queen Key there, right? But to we'll get to what it is. But what was it? What was that space before y'all occupied? You were saying
it was a funeral home, and then it turned into a soap factory, and then the most recent thing, it was a jazz speakeasy recording studio. That's why that big mural's in the back. Like the owner, his wife passed away, so those were all of her favorite jazz musicians. So he got that mural painted in her memorial or memory.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And, that's the largest jazz mural in Chicago till this day.
Oh, wow.
So that's why we haven't painted over it.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks cool, too, but.
Yeah. Are you debating? Is that the.
We were going to paint over it until we found out that story. And then
right.
Did he pass, too?
No, he's still around.
Oh, okay.
We were actually doing demo on the building when we first got it, and he drove by and saw us working on it, and he's like, oh, what's going on? And then he's like, yeah, I used to have a jazz speakeasy here, and I've been to it once before back in the day, but you wouldn't have even been able to realize it, because those doors, they had like the old fireproof doors, so there's no sunlight, there's no windows. The little sliding window we have now is just like two little glass squares you couldn't see through, so...
It was
like that building
okay.
on the block that you're like, what the hell is going on?
When was it? Did it stop? Shut down?
I went there in 2008, and I think it was done by like 2009, 2010.
And it was just shuttered after
and
that?
And then it's just been abandoned since then, and then we got it about a year ago.
So, yeah, because you guys were looking for a place to do what you're doing, or how did the process of coming to search for a space emerge?
Well, we had a spot at Lacuna Lofts like back in the day when they first opened. For a little bit, but then we got rid of that, and it kind of just fell in our lap, actually. We're at the right place at the right time. We weren't out.
Some of our friends were living upstairs.
Yeah, some of our friends were living upstairs, and they're like, yo, a spot downstairs is vacant, and we're like, oh, shit.
I'm just surprised that something on Milwaukee, that seemed like prime real estate.
Well, I mean, if you saw it when we got it, it was a piece of shit. Like, there's no electricity
also,
and all that kind of
like
shit.
Like you said, with... Just seeing it, the facade, if you're walking down the street, like even now people, if we didn't have a mural painted on it that caught people's eyes, you would miss it. But those doors that were there were just like solid. It just looked like a kind of like a busted old building.
You don't know what it could be.
We still have those doors though in the back.
So you guys, were you guys, I kind of want to talk about the history of the, what I'm going to call a collective. Is that a fair?
Sure, yeah. Yeah. Most definitely.
So it predates this space on Milwaukee Avenue. You said the Lacuna Loft days. How did you all come together and kind of what is the we of it that the collective kind of comprises?
Well, it stands for Fifth Dimension Collective. And it was just like me and a couple of like the original members, we just like came up with this idea of like breaking through to the fifth dimension and then being all artists, coming up with like a platform, kind of like incubator where we could help other artists as well as ourselves be exposed to this new dimension kind of thing.
As well as build a community with that and kind of use that as a space to bounce ideas off of each other. I'm more of like a newcomer to the group. Been friends with Cameron for about like 6 or 7 years, but everybody else I've known vaguely through some 6 degrees just because I think that's the nature of Chicago. So,
Who's everybody else?
There's Stephen Lexby, and then myself, Jacob King, Cameron Bundy,
Armand.
What's his last name?
Dude, it's like something hella Palestinian. I don't really remember it. Oh, Valentin. Oh, Valentin or something like that.
But you guys are close, though.
Yeah. Sounds like we don't.
He's more of like the Wizard of Oz, man behind the curtain kind of guy.
Yeah.
And so
it all down for us.
Of course, you have a space. You could give out the address on Milwaukee.
Yeah, 2341.
2341 North Milwaukee Ave. Yeah. In Logan, kind of the heart of, you know, what has become a very kind of changing, but also like, you know, like an interesting space culturally, has been historically, is so now, dealing with issues of gentrification. What is kind of the mission of that space in that neighborhood, and what are the things that you guys are doing and are trying to do there?
It's funny talking about the building, because that's actually like that building is like one of the only ones on that block that was historically preserved. So I think, I don't know if we were drawn to it because of that partly, or what it was ultimately. Mm-hmm. Obviously it was like a fortunate and great hot spot, but the neighborhood is changing totally, and I think we're trying to keep like something that can work within the community for all the members that were there and that are going to be there. And I think that's trying to be a staple in that regard is really important to us, as well as hopefully giving people the space to break out or really find themselves in their art or their crafts, whatever it is.
And like you said, like with the Mr. Sun store, you know, like we kind of are able to subsidize the whole FDC studios with the store. So it's kind of like the sun is shining light on artists that want to use FDC studios to present their art or do music or whatever have you, you know. Where I feel as maybe if we weren't the ones that got that space, like some brewery would have got it and just like started making micro brews or something.
Artisanal,
like that, you know?
Small batch pickles.
Like that. Or another coffee shop or something like that, you know?
It definitely
like
has.
Way better.
Yeah, it definitely has like a DIY feel. You know?
And we got the huge backyard too when we had the Herald's party. That shit was cracking, dude. We had the Herald's truck pull up for like Memorial Day.
I went to that one.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was a good time for sure.
Well, the role of the artist in that transition of neighborhood historically in the city has been very interesting, right? And so I'm wondering, like, if there has been any tension on the other side of things, like as those, you know, giant, tall, glass, buildings have been built down the street from you, in our
backyard.
Yeah, you can see it from the back. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
It's
that
like
crazy.
Towering over our backyard.
We were wondering about that, but it's been chill. So I don't even think people live in it yet.
There's a couple people, and it was a concern, but it's also like we've had a lot of foot traffic where, I don't know, it's a wide variety of people, and you can tell it's a lot of people, I just moved to the area with my kid, and we're looking and just like trying to be welcoming to everybody, and like people have seemed to have accepted that, and I don't know, it's gotten a good reception in that regard.
We don't really have any enemies, I don't think.
Well, it's an interesting space. You walk by, the facade is always changing, right? You guys have different artists who are always kind of painting on the outside in order to promote some of what is happening inside.
Sure.
There's a lot of different things that are happening inside, right? So, I mean, you mentioned the store.
Yeah.
I know that you guys just started an open mic in the space, right, as well. Yeah, first one. How can people come? What is regular? What's if everything's open to the public? Like, how can people come in and get acquainted?
That's a good question. Well, the storefront itself is open Thursday through Sunday, noon to 7. And the other days, it's kind of like that's when we are like working on our stuff and in-house things, because we pretty much try to have one event each weekend to get people into the store and into the space. But besides that, in order to like contact us about things, you could just like slide in the DMs casually, stuff like that.
No, yeah, Instagram is a good platform for us. It's at FDC Studios. And just to clarify too, Mr. Sun is like the store portion of our space that we have. So that's what's kind of the subsidizing FDC Studios, which is where we're getting those artists to be able to find themselves and do things like that.
So do you guys make merch or you sell other?
Yeah, it's the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the store. So like I've got my clothing line in there. Then we have like merch for the store, FDC merch, Mr. Sun merch. And then Jacob's got his art in there, his photography. And then besides that, we just, like the Wattweiler company, we have a bunch of our friends, and we give them the chance to put their merchandise on the prime location in Logan Square. So it's kind of like a little collective consignment thing with all the friends. But all the art and stuff, I mean, we have everything from taxidermy to jewelry to prints to zines, cross-stitch patching, stuff like that.
And as Cameron said, we are doing it right now currently commission-based, and we're trying to be better than gallery standards, so we're doing 60-40 towards the artist. But our eventual goal is to kind of have it completely go to the artist.
40 to us, yeah.
Yeah, have it completely go to the artist, and they're able to just kind of profit off of their craft and their own thing. So we're going to be eventually introducing this summer like a membership or a subscription program, where people are going to be able to come to the store, buy the art from the artists that they like, merchandise, things that they can wear, but also they can come in and be, oh, here's 5, 10, 50, however much a month, and I know it's going to support these artists that I want to be able to keep coming to their open mics or keep coming to their music video releases, and just kind of support that and allow that growth on a more organic, independent level.
Yeah, sure. That's an interesting model, right? Like kind of giving people on a, you know, maybe like low cost or democratic basis, the ability to be patrons of the arts, or to be members of this space or whatever. I think that's a really progressive model of how to fund an art space.
It also seems novel kind of in Logan Square right now.
Yeah. And smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then maybe it is that invitation for folks who have been there, but also folks who are coming.
For sure. You know? And it's definitely been something that we've been trying to fine tune and perfect, and it's cost us a lot. And like, but it's something that I feel like we're all extremely dedicated to, and that I mean, me coming in just a little over a year ago with these guys, like having that welcoming arms, like allow me to create my own art and help fund that, and then yeah, just to be able to do that on the flip side and kind of give other people.
That's it. And we did like a fundraiser for Charles Darwin. It's like the neighborhood elementary school. I think we raised like what, 2,300 or something like that.
Yeah,
and we
yeah.
like printed out the cool big lotto check and took it to him.
Wow,
that was
cute.
Amazing.
That's really dope.
That's the school that Shel Silverstein went to, actually.
Oh yeah.
His murals are all in there. Yeah.
Where is that?
It's on Medill and just like before.
Right before Kedzie.
Yeah, right before
Kedzie. Oh, okay.
Lombard, yeah.
It's on a side, a little side street over there, Charles Darwin Elementary.
But yeah, that was cool. We're gonna do another one for like a summer program.
Oh yeah, for like maybe the Park District or some after school program to try to just keep getting the people in our community funding the kids or the neighborhood in general, as well as kind of Chicago overall, but starting small.
Well, that's really dope. I want to kind of take it back a little, just because I know you all have obviously your own stories, your own histories, and your own artistic practices. So I'm curious just about how you make and what you make individually.
Sick. Well, like, yeah, I do art. I do.
You do a lot of things.
I do art. Yeah, things. You really yeah, I do a lot of things. I DJ.
Under Mr. Sun?
No, C Buns is my DJ.
C yeah. Buns.
C Buns. Well, my name's Cameron Bundy, so like C Buns.
Yeah. And what do you play mostly?
Well, I only spin vinyl, like funk, disco, house, techno. Mm. It's pretty much my forte.
You're from here?
Yeah. I grew up in like Rogers Park, but also super Southside. Like my grandma is like 79th and Yates. My great grandma is 79th and Drexel.
So you saw the whole city then.
You were running the gamut. Lakeshore Drive was like my route to fall asleep or whatever, going back and forth.
Yeah.
But so whenever my parents were at work on the weekends, I'd be over out south and then up north as well.
Not a lot of kids in Chicago get that perspective.
I know.
Right?
I know.
So it gives you, you're different then because of it.
Yeah, one of the reasons I'm different, yeah.
For yeah.
Sure. One of the reasons. Yeah. And then, so then what happened? I went to Stone Academy for grade school, Von Steuben for high school, DePaul for college, and then started doing art. I'm a graffiti writer, so the graffiti's transferred into, like, I could actually do more legal stuff. So I start, yeah, and profitable. Besides just getting street cred. So then, yes, I do anything from like small like animations, murals, a pretty wide mixed medium. Right now, I'm working on a clay stop motion cartoon. I'm gonna have a solo show in August, and I'll be displaying all of that stuff. It's gonna be pretty tight.
The claymation?
Yeah.
How do you even... That sounds really involved.
Tedious as fuck, I imagine. Yeah,
for sure, yeah.
Where will that be? At the
it'll
studio?
It'll be at FGC Studios.
In August?
Yeah, in August.
And are you going to, like, film...
So I'll have the one board that has the one city scene. It's, like, maybe half the size of this table. I'll suspend that from the ceiling so everyone could see all the buildings and be like, oh, that's where that one scene in the alley was, you know? So you could walk all the way around the whole thing. But the actual animation will just be displayed on loop on the wall.
Somewhere. Oh, tight.
That's fire.
Yeah.
And then there'll be a bunch of other stuff I've been working on too, but mainly, the animation, the clay animation. That's the first time I've ever done that. So
you also just made those shoes.
Oh yeah. I've been painting a bunch of shoes lately that have been pretty cool.
Air Force, like a full.
Yeah.
Like
these, Air Force ones. The Air Force ones, the Lowe's, and like trick them out all tight.
Don't. So you're, I don't know how old you are, and you don't have to tell me.
31.
Okay.
On paper.
Right. Allegedly, but, there you go. Coming up in the Chicago scene, both in graffiti and DJ culture, you know, with all the different influences that you've been privy to, who are some of the folks who influenced you in the city?
Oh man. All right. My cousin got me into graffiti, and then my aunt used to babysit me a lot, and she grew up on house music. So I grew up listening to house music. So she lived on, like Belmont and Sheffield. So
oh, wow.
Yeah.
So she lived in the center of a lot of shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, like, she'd be pre-gaming with all of her friends. She hung out with a bunch of, like, different people, you know? So they'd be, like, pre-gaming, listen to house music. And I'm just like, man, this song's cool, you know? I remember this one song, I think I got a booty call. I was like, damn, this song's tight. So I remember, like...
How old are you?
Man, I don't know. I had to be, like, first or second grade, you know?
And so, she's pre-gaming with her friends?
Yeah.
She's older.
Yeah.
She's not first or second
grade. She's in her 20s.
Yeah. Right. So I remember distinctly, like, sitting in the backseat car, and we're driving my mom's... Driving to grandma's house, and mom's driving. I was like, I think I got a booty call. Booty call.
Oh, no.
My mom, like, hits the brakes and turns around. She's like, what'd you say? I was like, I got a booty call. She's like, what is that? I was like, I don't know, a phone call. And she's like, where'd you hear that? And I was like, at Auntie Sherry. She's like, starts driving, you know? And she got mad in trouble for that, you know?
Auntie Sherry no more.
Honestly, you narked and you didn't even know.
Yeah, I distinctly remember that for sure. Other influences like graffiti, like the homie Slang.
Yeah.
He's OG for sure. Then there's fools like Civil and Pistol, RIP Skin, a lot of homies, Fallen homies, stuff like that. Art would be cartoons. I grew up on like old Nickelodeon, like Our Real Monsters, Rock Was Modern Life, Ren Stimpy, Kablamo, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, Kablamo.
Yeah.
It's a throwback.
Yeah.
Nice.
That stuff needs to come back. Yeah, I think it's in daily life, you know, inhaling and exhaling, stretching. It's a good way to get inspired. Do push-ups. I got this thing. however many hours a day that you're up, do at least 10 to 20 push-ups. So if you're up 10 hours a day and you do 10 push-ups every hour, that's 100 push-ups a day. Get swole quick. Mm. So that's my new thing lately is push-ups.
Okay, just and 10 in an hour? You like...
Yeah, I mean, so every hour do at least 10.
You pace it, though.
You pace it. I'd be like, oh, what time is it? Oh,
10.
10, you know?
And okay, then, I like that.
If you skip an hour, just do 20.
That, 20 the next
yeah.
hour.
Yeah.
I like that. I also like being wherever you're at, like train, gig,
like, well, what
grandma's house. Yeah. Like, yo,
train.
Man, I got to get my reps in.
I think I got the booty calls.
Getting phone calls. Dude.
And Jacob, I know you take beautiful photographs and do other things. How did you get involved in making art?
I think that started a lot when I was younger. I had a lot of family members who did art. My one aunt, Kathy King, she was part of like the Chicago Imagists. And
oh shit, that's a very not so subtle flex.
Yeah. She was she worked for the Art Institute and stuff, and she was a mixed media artist, her and her husband Michael Miller. And
it's just a really great, amazing period of artists, fine artists who are influenced by cartoons and circus posters.
There's a lot of mixed media type stuff, pop art, kind of reminiscent work.
What year is that?
70s?
Yeah, okay. Probably through to the 80s,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, probably started in the 60s. A lot of folks who were students and professors at the School of the Art Institute, but interested in comic books and zines. And
it was kind of like a
porn
more outsider type art.
Yes.
Interesting, it happened at SAIC.
Yeah, but it was because it was like the fringe, like... students and like a few professors who are like, yeah, we're weird, like,
we're actually weird and not like normal weird.
Yeah.
But I remember her studio was on Wabanzia and Wood, so I would go over there and like she just had the butcher paper and would just pull out a 10-foot sheet for me and my siblings, and we would go crazy on it. I have four siblings, so we needed the whole 10 feet, but
that's a big crew.
Yeah. And then when I was in, I went to CPS, so I went to Marwin, which is like an art program for kids who in living in the city who go to CPS. And there I did ceramics, pottery, graffiti.
Which, that's an incredible program, Marwin.
It's amazing.
They have
Shout
great
out
resources,
Marwin, sure.
Beautiful space.
Everything that they do is like, yeah, I still special. Have like, there's some people that I'm like seeing their work and stuff that it just excites me. And they, when I was there, they only had two floors of the building they were in. And now they own the whole thing. And they keep offering great programming, which is really exciting. But then I eventually did darkroom photography there. And I think that's where that sparked. I went to Lincoln Park High School and kind of like fell off in the art world just because I was concerned with being a teenager. And
rightfully so.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And then
it'd be obnoxious if you were like 15 and you're just like every weekend.
Going to darkroom, mom.
or you're just like, I have to go to this gallery opening.
Yeah.
Like, fam,
nerd.
Go. You know what I mean? I mean, I guess that'd be all right, but.
That would be wild. But no, and then I went to community college here. So I stayed here and then just wanted to fill my time more proactively, productively. So I started just shooting film again. And
of what? Like what kind of prompted you to pick up the camera, and what were you initially kind of setting your sights on?
It's
like when we first met, right?
Which was one of my next questions, actually. It was kind of how y'all met. But
well, that was, yeah, it was probably... around that time, because that was like 6 or 7 years ago I met you, and that was when I like was first starting school, or college, I should say.
Yeah, it's been that long.
Crazy. Yeah, and like same deal. A lot of my friends were doing graffiti growing up, so I just kind of was like in that world vicariously, and sometimes I would go shoot photos or go look out and stuff like that and document that. And then it just kind of came with me carrying my camera around with me. Family occasions, whenever I was going out of town, I love to do like more travel stuff. And then when I was like super bored, I would just bike down here downtown just because there's a lot of different faces. And then it kind of more, I honed in on more of like the portraiture style work.
Which is kind of part of what you really make now.
Yeah, most definitely. It's like portrait work hovering between like documentary style and more editorial. I like to do my more like studio conceptual shoots. And that kind of also started with this guy too. Like I remember when he first started making some of his permanent vacay clothes, we did a shoot at this abandoned Zenith factory, like way out west on.
Oh yeah, she was tight.
What was that, Grand and Central or something?
Yeah.
And it was hilarious. We went in there with like 5 racks and were just like goofing around. It was so funny.
Yeah.
Like had it look like an accountant's office.
So, well, I guess how did you guys meet?
Just like
This dude, Zach Sigmund.
Yeah, I guess it is Zach Sigmund.
Zach Sigmund.
Fuck you, yeah. Zach. No.
We're actually like, I'm pretty sure, I told him today, I was like, yo, me and Jacob, we're going to be on his podcast. He's like, for what? I was like, oh, a topic is Sigmund's last two friends in existence.
He was just here, and we were bugged by him the whole weekend. It was great.
He bothers us a lot.
Sounds popular.
Yeah, he's
no, just one of the homies. And you know, we linked up, and oh, this guy's cool.
He's doing he's out in New York doing like some sign painting. And
he works for Colossal, Colossal Media. They do like hella big murals.
Yeah.
Wow, that's tight.
Yeah, that's funny as hell. Yeah, we used to like go to like Evil Olive and like we got like that for sure. That was when I still need to use my fake.
Oh, nice.
Not RIP. Yeah. I don't like that
stuff. Unfortunately.
So right now you guys are kind of filling a void in some ways. There used to be a lot of moments in the history of Chicago of these DIY spaces, but you guys are, you know, you guys feel a real need in the community. What are some of the reasons why you are organizing this space, doing this work, holding a space not only for yourselves as creators, but also opening it to a very wide and broad community of artists in the city?
I mean, because it kind of needs to be done. I mean, there's a lot of good artists out there, but they just don't have the funds to put together money to maybe rent out an actual venue, or they might not have the money to put up an online store or something like that. So we like to fill the gap in that way. I remember one of the first times we had an event, someone said that they're like, yo, this is going to be, in 20 years, it's going to be like Chicago's CBGB or whatever. What's the name of that spot?
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah.
And I heard that and I was like, yo, dude, we can't stop doing this. Like, I want to be known as the fucking, as that, you know? So that like always rings around in my head.
For sure.
Resonates, that's the word.
I think for me, yeah, it's a lot of like personal commitment to not necessarily the do-it-yourself aspect, which is obviously like what we have become, but just that acceptance of community and stuff. Like with Marwin, if I didn't have those resources and like were allowed to do that stuff for free, I wouldn't have found my interest in photography. I work at Latitude Chicago, which is like a digital photo lab, and with them, like, it was just being able to be welcome with open arms and like people willing to teach me pretty much for free or like for nothing, and like just like having a strong urge and need to like reciprocate that, because I wouldn't be able to do the stuff that I do if I didn't have that. So
well, spaces like FDC are necessary, because the only way any of the artists who are famous out of Chicago are famous is because, you know, their community has rallied around them in spaces like,
for sure,
FDC. You know,
totally.
And there were spaces to make, spaces to show, spaces to
get. Especially like such a central spot, you know. I mean, I don't think that there's a spot nearby, except for YCA, but, you know, that's different. Like, this is 21 older, right? Or at least all ages, or
for the most part, you can serve
alcohol, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
which, like, again, like, with our, we did the back-to-school charity event. We do want to be able to kind of cover that span of all are welcome. But also, yeah, I mean, to have resources and things for people who maybe are new here, or
yeah, and whatever. It's also like giving someone a platform that might second guess themselves. Like, I didn't go to school for art, you know? But once I started doing art and like other people saw it, they're like, yo, this shit's tight, you know? And I was like, whoa, then maybe I should do it. So I kept doing it. And then same thing for someone that might have done a 3-series print, and they're like, they put up in the store, and then someone's like, yo, who is this artist? You know, it's just like little things like that, giving someone a chance.
For sure.
That might even not think that they're worth a chance personally.
You
know,
that's how, same thing, it was just like my friends being like, yo, keep shooting.
Yeah,
for sure, keep doing that.
That's dope. So people could come see the store Thursday through Sunday.
Mm-hmm. 12 to 7. Yep.
12 to 7. The open mic is when?
We actually just had one. We're gonna be having another one in June. Shawnee Dez hosted our last one. Amazing performer.
Yeah,
amazing
person.
Yeah.
We're trying to create something cool. It was like a great turnout and a really beautiful personal evening. We have a lot of other programming coming
up. If you just follow the @FDC Studios or the Mr. Sun on Instagram, you'll see the post. So we'll post up the whole schedule for the entire month, and you'll see what events are going on.
Yeah, we got a drink and draw coming up, which is going to be one of our staples, where we have a local artist host it. You come out, drink free beer, hang out with friends, and just draw. A maker's mart, it's going to be our first time doing that. So just for makers, jewelers, crafters, a place for them to sell their work and have a day event for that.
When's that?
That's going to be the 26th of May. And then
it's on a Sunday. Yeah. It's after the farmer's market. So the farmer's market goes on in Logan Square. So we kind of like trying to get that whole wave after that thing's over.
And then over there. Our drink and draw is going to be May 9th. And that's going to be hosted by Kalen Strauss. He's an interdisciplinary artist. He's from LA, but he goes to SAIC here, and his work's great. So I'm really excited for that too. Yeah. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's folks.
So, and where can people follow your work individually as well?
I am cbuns.yeah on Instagram, and that's where you can find my stuff.
And then mine is jacobking.jpg on Instagram. My website's jacob-king.com. And then, yeah, Mr. Sun is the store. Mr. Sun, five underscores.
Like MRSUN. And then, well, once you start putting the underscores in, it'll pop up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, fellas, thank you so much holding down that space, for opening that space, for the work you all do individually and collectively. Really appreciate you, and of course, appreciate you being in the Corner Store tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, good to have you all.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yo, we want to thank DJ Exist for the beat,
Langston Olsen for the art,
big ups Todd Manley at WGN Radio,
and Max and Dami, the Corner Store interns.
Salutes to our super producer, DJ Cash Era.
You can keep in tune with the Corner Store at @_pod on Instagram, Twitter, and SoundCloud.
Also, you can stream and download the Corner Store wherever you listen to podcasts.
And please rate and subscribe and comment on iTunes.
Please, y'all, consider giving us those 5 stars.
Thank you for listening.
We're going to see you next week.
The Corner Store is brought to you by Stolen Spirits.